The following conference is one of a second series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and teaches at the Pontifical Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in New York. Father is well known as a lecturer, retreat master, and author. This second series of retreat conferences has proved to be of great spiritual inspiration and assistance to priests, religious, and laity alike, because, like all of Father Hardin's conferences, one can be well assured they are founded on solid Catholic doctrine. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Knowledge of Our Moral Limitations. Father Hardin.
We are still reflecting on the, shall I say, human side of our nature. For our present conference, I suggest we reflect on the knowledge of our moral limitations. We might begin by observing that to speak of moral limitations is about the same as moral weaknesses, but this is not the same as our sinful tendencies. In essence, sinful tendencies, about which we have spoken at some length, are common to all people and are, as we know, mainly the result of our fallen human nature and of our own past sinful conduct. Our moral limitations, however, or weaknesses, if you wish, are mainly concerned with our personal character. Though when I either lecture on the subject or within this context, speak of it in retreat, I like to distinguish between personal and character, because personal has to do with our personality, whereas character has to do, well, with our character. Our personality is that with which we begin. It is that unique individual, specially and distinctively created by God, when He infuses just this human spirit into this human body, to be different from that moment for eternity. God makes no two of us the same. That's our personality. Whereas our character, though indeed building on the personality, is not so much begun as distinctive as made distinctive by our education, environment, and with emphasis, our experience. Then within this experience, especially our willed experience. Many of our experiences are quite unwilled, indeed, many quite unwanted. But many are willed. It is then the education, the environment, implying all the people that over the years have entered our lives and we theirs, and especially especially the experiences we have, not merely had, but wanted, that shape what we now call our character. If personalities are born, characters are made. Before we enter a vast subject with a desire to make more clear and therefore more useful for our own better understanding of ourselves in order to serve the God to whom we have committed ourselves more faithfully, we can find a variety of classifications of temperaments. I'm not fond of the word. More accurately, personalities, keeping always in mind that a personality is always also a character. There are four classic categories that over the centuries in Western thought for over 2,500 years, in Eastern thought for almost 4,000 years. They have many synonyms. Different writers speak of different groupings, and modern psychology would be unintelligible except by building where it's valid on these distinctions. The familiar categories of melancholic, sanguine, lethargic, and choleric can be used, but they have almost immediately, as you use these terms, negative connotations. Whereas our emphasis in this conference is not so much, or not excluding, the negative implications as weaknesses, as rather the limitations of each personal character type. Consequently, I prefer the classification meditative optimist, firm and aggressive. We shall draw some spiritual implications in the moral order after we go over a brief reflection on each. The meditative type, which can be called the melancholic, is the thoughtful person. To use a more sophisticated word, the pensive character. Reflective, philosophical, and as such has created most of the profound thinking in the world. It is of such that prophets are born. Isaiah was meditative. So was Augustine. So was Aquinas. So on the vigil of his feast was St. Ignatius. But having said this, and one reason for bringing this out, there are weaknesses, if you wish, the defects of each person's personality. This type of person tends to pessimism is inclined to moodiness, he is characteristically the worrisome type. When this kind becomes sad, it can become even psychotic. Persons of this type tend to discouragement, and their dominant sinful tendency is to give up. Part of this is no doubt due to the fact that thinking through things often so deeply, they are the idealists whom we sometimes nickname the pessimists, because they are perfectionists who are saddened by their own inability to reach their own ideals. The optimist, or as I sometimes call the activist, sanguine, for reasons best known to those who coined the word, why call them sanguine? They are the confident type, the trustful, the hopeful, the eternally confidence, nothing seems to faze them. Trials and troubles, they seem to thrive on difficulties. But there are limitations which, unless these persons watch themselves, can become sinful weaknesses. There is a tendency to oversimplifying complicated tasks, and as a consequence, they may lack depth, unlike the meditative who runs deep. They generally fail to plan. They can become indifferent about the serious issues of life, and can be quite casual, even about things that are sacred. Their besetting sinful tendency is imprudence. The firm, solid, sometimes called lethargic type. These are the stable characters, the unchangeable ones. What they're doing today, they did 20 years ago, and in just the same way. You can set your clocks by them. They tend to be slow-moving, passive, and they differ from the type we have just described, namely, the optimist or sanguine temperament, in that the sanguine temperament is essentially an attitude of mind that, as this kind of person, has a character which describes a posture or inclination of the will, there is unchangeableness in the character of the will. They are the ones who have built the empires of history. But they have their limitations. This kind of person's weakness is not to get going and not to change, even when everything demands that there be a change. This kind of person fears to undertake any new enterprise, even though the mind, which in this case would be the conscience, tells him or her it is a duty or a great opportunity. We all know what a besetting sinful tendency of this character is. It is sloth. It also the great tendency to mistake stubbornness for firmness. And it's not easy often in practice. It is extremely difficult for the person to be able to distinguish when solidity of character and the legitimate firmness that a person ought to have in, say, performance of duty or living one's state of life, where that ends and stubbornness begins. Stubbornness is unreasonable firmness. Some people couldn't possibly become stubborn. They don't have enough firmness of character. But those who have firmness better be wary of their stubbornness. Finally, the aggressive type, whom the ancients called choleric. This is the quick thinking and quick acting, often quick reacting personality. Impulsive and will begin an enterprise where not only angels but all the hosts of heaven would fear to undertake. Blindly oblivious of danger, fearless pioneers, Columbus must have been an aggressive personality. With all the great things they can do and have done over the centuries of human history and in the church among saints, this person's tendency is to speak without much thinking, better without thinking, and to act without due reflection. If you want two opposites, you have them in the one just preceding and this one. The solid, stolid, firm type and the aggressive, choleric personality. there is no doubt what the besetting sinful tendency of the aggressive person is. It is, in plain English, anger. Having said all of this, we have much more to say. As is obvious, these are not really distinctive in the sense that no one person is exclusively any one of the four. They are, at best, though very important, conceptual distinctions. In other words, they are distinctions that we can and should make in the mind in order to help us deal with ourselves and deal with others. They are most certainly not different people. Nevertheless, they are clear gauges of the general dominant features of a person. Speaking then of mortal limitations or weaknesses in these cases, we might say they are the correlatives of each temperament. They correspond, as we intimated earlier, the negative side, the human, of the God-given characteristics that have been implanted in each person's character and shaped by now years of living with ourselves and with others. Moreover, when we talk about having one or the other kind of temperament which is dominant in each one of us, we should always distinguish between that which is unchangeable in this temperament that belongs to our personality about which we spoke earlier, that which is part of the individual that God made, where God foresaw that he would be specially and distinctively glorified by a Francis of Assisi and an Ignatius or a Teresa of Avila. God made different persons in order to be distinctively glorified by each. God glories in variety. That then, put just that way, is the unchangeable part corresponding to our personality. But there is also a changeable part. How do we know it's changeable? Because it is that part which was acquired. We didn't acquire our personality. We were conceived with it. But our character, to use that language, arose, as we said, from our education and training, from the environment, especially the living environment of people among whom we have been living, and our experience, notably our deliberate, willed experience. Since that was acquired, it is therefore that part of us which can be changed. And consequently, when we talk about improving or developing ourselves in the spiritual life, we assume that we shall glorify God according to our respective personality, minus, of course, those sinful tendencies to which various types are prone, but also with such changes as God may want us to make in our character.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.